several places in sort of the list of the 12 disciples. I didn't put cancer, come up here without the list in front of you. Did you name them? Somebody told you? I guess the opposite, you were allowed to think about it just a little bit. But at the end of the list, always, there are two Judases. There was a Judas, and then there is a Judas Iscariot. And they always set apart that Judas Iscariot. He's always at the end of the list. Of course, his gospel writers are writing after he betrayed Jesus. And he wears the title now, Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed the Lord. John McVeigh used to say, he always is sitting at the other end of the field. Jesus is right there. He's still included in the list. Because he was there. Because he was part of the 12. He was chosen by Jesus. And he was chosen by Jesus even though Jesus knew who he was. Jesus knew what he would do. And yet he was chosen. So there he is. Mark tells us, he says, as they were reclining at the table and eating, Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, one of you, will betray me. One who is eating with me. One who is seated at this very table." And the thing is that the list is being read right there at the table. They're all seated at the table. They're the only ones there that night. His disciples don't know. And Jesus knows. He knows which one. Desire of Ages says that Judas was wise and contemplative. He was highly regarded by the other disciples. No other recognized their opportunity. They did not take advantage of their circumstances. Judas did. And it said that he saw that the church would never prosper under their care. They were too short-sighted. And just look at them. And not any one of them that you would label as a visionary leader. Peter was impressive. He didn't consider the consequences of what came out of his mouth. John was a poor businessman. Matthew was too absent-minded in his teaching. Judas figured the church would suffer embarrassment if it wasn't for his ability to manage. This was why I was chosen. I know who I am. Jesus knows who I am. This is why I'm here. Judas felt this was his opportunity. His opportunity for Christ. His mistake was for the reasons that he felt he was good. He did not feel he needed to be molded by Jesus. He did not feel that he needed to be molded into a certain type of disciple, if you will. And in his opinion, Jesus did not need to suffer in order to bring about his kingdom. Theologically, he didn't believe that it made sense. He doesn't have to suffer for this to come about. All he has to do is do what he, who he is, do what he came to do. Conquer. To rise up. To use the power that he has as the Son of God. He doesn't have to suffer to do this. And he thought, if I betray him into arrest, it will force him to become himself and free Israel now. So he did. But after the kiss, something went wrong. Something went horribly wrong. He allowed himself to be captured. Judas just stood there, dumbfounded, as Jesus allowed himself to be carried away in shame. He watched as the accusations unfolded. He saw what happened that night. Matthew adds, when Judas, his betrayer, saw that Jesus was condemned, he repented, brought back the 30 pieces of silver and the chief priests and the elders. He said, "I sinned by betraying innocent blood." But they said, "What is that to us? You did to that yourself. See to it yourself. You're the one with the plan." He had a plan, and the plan was for Jesus to not be captured and Jesus
This isn't supposed to happen. He's not supposed to be sitting in a cell right now. He's not supposed to be on trial by human beings. He's supposed to be seated at a throne like that. Making those very prisoners beg for their mercy, for his mercy. They had a plan. It says here that the word is repent. It's not quite repent. It is, he felt remorse. And what he felt remorse for was his plan didn't work out. And he thinks he's still got it covered. If I get some money back, it'll all be okay. But the leader says, what's that doubt? We got what we wanted. We got what we paid for. You take the money and see to it yourself. You take what you did and you go see to it yourself. Whatever it is you have to do to make this right, you go ahead and see to it yourself. Leaders don't ever let him off the hook. So Jesus knew who would betray. He also knew who would deny. Jesus says to Peter, he says, truly I tell you, this day, this very night before the cock crows twice, you will deny me 3 times. But Peter, in the first, Peter said to him, even though all the tongue deserters, I will not. Even though I must die with you, I will not deny you. And all of them said to him. So imagine the disciples' reaction. Peter says what he says. He says, yeah, I knew it. I knew Peter would make it. Peter didn't know what he done. Peter's not going to let him die. So we're not going to either. We're going to stand with you. We're going to, we have a plan. But Peter, just like walking on the water, speaking up, confessing Jesus was the Messiah, and we were all too scared to at those times. We were always too scared. Peter's the man. While Peter's words from the night are still fresh in his mind, the next night, he's confronted by real danger. These words come out of his mouth. You are absolutely crazy. I don't even know them. And then the difference between the two leaders. The difference between Judas and Peter. The priest. Chief priests, the leaders, if you will, the Sanhedrin tells you that you go see to it yourself. You do whatever you need to do to make this right. And why Peter's been told the same thing. He's had somebody tell him to see to it himself, but that's what he needs to do now. What do I do now? I swore this wouldn't happen, and I denied it. I denied it 3 times, and there were witnesses. Peter has to see to it himself. And the only difference between the two. Peter remembers what Jesus said before the cock crows, you will deny me. And he went out and he wept bitterly. He wept bitterly. At that moment, Peter knew he could cover it up. He can't sweep it away. Repentance is bitter. Not merely I have sinned, but I have denied, I've hurt, I've crucified you, I've betrayed you. The one who denies weeps bitterly. Prayer, seeing through himself, holding himself, and never more. There's a difference, but they do have something in common. So while they were eating, Jesus pointed it out, truly I tell you, one of you will betray me. And they become greatly distressed, and they begin to say to him, one after another, surely not quiet, Lord. And he answers, the one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. Guess what? They all dipped their hand in the bowl that night. Passover was a communion meal. Everybody participated. The food was communion. The Son of Man goes out as it is written of him. The Son of Man goes as it is written of me. I'm going because it's been written about me. I know where I'm going tomorrow. I know what's going to happen. But woe to the one by whom the Son of Man is declared. It would have been better for him if he had not been born. Does that mean that the cup there is
punishment waiting for him anywhere? Does that mean that he deserved to be hanged?
Well, what that means at all?
Jesus not only knows what Judas will do, but he also knows what Judas will do about it after he sees through it himself. Because every person at the table that night would be betray him eventually. Judas was the only one who got paid for it. Judas is the only one, if you think about it, might have had a better motive than just being good. But what the one thing Jesus knows he won't do is that he will try to speak to us himself. And he will take him the only place that his sin allows to take him. Not that the cross, not that Jesus is trying to make it great, but to the truth. And if you think about it, there's nothing we can do about any of those things. And logically, if we thought about it, if we were to see to it ourselves, then we might as well what? Might as well end it now. Because it ain't going to get any better. I can't see to it myself now, and I won't be able to see to it myself, no matter how holy I become, no matter how strong I become. No matter how many temptations I overcome, it still won't do anything about the sin that has been done. If I'm going to see to my sins myself, I might as well end it now. Eliminate a whole lot of hurt. Peter eventually makes his way around. He does. He weeps bitterly. He goes back to Gethsemane. He may have gone back to that very rock where Jesus wept and cried aloud, "Father, Father, I don't think I can do this." And where he sweat blood, he may be rubbing his hands in that perspired blood right there. And it says he clawed at the ground. He dug at the ground, and he just wailed. Eventually, he makes it. He takes a detour. He doesn't think that he's qualified to be a disciple anymore. And he heads down another road. He tells his disciples, "You know what I'm going to do? I'm going back. And nothing I can do. I can't be a disciple anymore, not after what I've done." But eventually, he makes it back around to communion with Jesus. There's another communion meal that happens in John 21. Here comes the store, and Jesus is making them breakfast. And he eventually makes his way back into the communion of Christ. Peter, do you love me? The difference between Peter and Judas is that Judas felt the communion is no longer his. Peter did the same thing. Peter turns his back completely to go back to prison, and it doesn't work out. And he works his way back to Jesus. He works his way back to communion. And when he does, in those words, "Peter, do you love me?" Even though he doesn't have any evidence of it, he says, "Yes, I love you." 3 times he asked him, no evidence of it. Nothing happened. I just betrayed you, tried to run away from it, and left him both. I've got nowhere else to go. I can't even take anymore. Why he calls us back to this table. Often, he says, "Come back to this table." A broken body symbolizing him taking the death for us that we all deserve. A poured blood. Not spilled, but poured. Actually, poured out. It was not an accident. It was not the result of a cruel torture and death, but willingly poured out in order to be able to forgive all sin. We betrayed, he said, "Take and eat and drink." We deny it. He says, "Take and eat and drink." We're going to betray again. He says, "Take and eat and drink." We are going to deny again. He says, "Take and eat." We have past forgiveness. We have current forgiveness. We have future forgiveness. This cup, this bread, this table is all we want.
And it's all we need. The difference between Jesus and Peter. Accepting his love, accepting his willingness to love and to forgive. There's
this reason to life. Paul put it this way: do you despise the riches of the covenant and the blessing of the covenant? You don't realize that God's covenant was meant for you to repent. And the repentance may have as much to do with turning away from sin, but also turning away from the temptation to see to it yourself about your sin that's already been committed. That's the repentance that Judas didn't have. Judas believes he's lost. If I betray the only one who can forgive me, then I'm lost. But can you imagine? If Judas had made his way back into the fellowship of Jesus, what do you think Jesus would have told him? He knew ahead of time, but he washed Judas' feet too. He offered Judas communion too. Knowing what was in his heart, knowing what was in Judas' heart, he still comes to him with the bread and with the wine. His body. Paul later reflecting on this knows I was an expert at not sinning in the first place, so I didn't have to worry about sinning to my sin myself.
I never saw to it. I never had to speak to it myself because I wasn't able to do it.
Circumcised at the eighth day, born of the tribe of Benjamin, a Pharisee of
Pharisees, and I went through the law.
Paul said, I never had to see to it myself. And when I did, I took care of it.
Completely obedient to God.
Yet when he meets the crucified and risen Christ, when he hears of what Jesus did to his disciples that night, and he begins to give the communion himself, he changes his tune. And he says, whatever gains I had, whatever opportunities that I had, all of my obedience as a Pharisee, everything that I was able to do, all of my self-righteousness, I come to regard as lost because of Christ.
More than that, I regard everything as lost because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus as my Lord.
For his sake, I say the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish in order that I may. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith
in Christ. The righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know at the time of his resurrection and hearing of the suffering of becoming righteous in his death,
that somehow I may attain the resurrection of the dead.
That I've already attained.
But that I, not that I've already reached it, but I press on to make it my own. He made me his own when I was his enemy. He made me his own when I was his betrayer.
He made me his own when I was persecuting his followers and throwing them in prison and killing them
just simply for worshiping him. He made me his own.
While we were yet enemies, he died for me.
Sinner and betrayer. You and me have been made his own, and so he wants us at the table. He calls us back to the table as often as we can in order to remember that. We're here because it's stamped on every rope, on every emblem, and on every line that holds the wine, the blood of forgiveness, is the words, you are my own. Today, I want you to remember that. That's why he sets the table. into the things we will never forget. The love of Jesus with his constraining power to be kept for us to remember. Christ is going to do the good service where he's going to speak to our senses of the love of God that has been expressed on our behalf. There can be no union between our souls and God except in Christ. The union and love between brother and brother must be cemented and rendered eternal by the love of Jesus. And nothing less than the death of Christ could make his love to have meaning, to have relevance in our life. It is only because of his death that we can look with joy at his sacrifice. His sacrifice is the center of our hope. Upon this, we must fix our faith. Communion of it. We have nowhere else to take our betrayal. We have nowhere else to take our denial. We have absolutely no way. Set by him, established